Well, welcome back to another week of Quarantine Christianity. We are so glad that you could make it. Grab your Bibles. There's a couple of passages I want you to turn to. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and then we're moving from there to Isaiah 66. So you can put the marker there in Isaiah 66 and start with 1 Samuel chapter 30. I also wanted to thank you for your generosity. For those of you that have been so faithful, I'm extremely grateful. We have some wins to report to you. Our missionaries, we had two missionaries, Danny and Peggy Thornton, that were unfortunately caught up right in the middle of this coronavirus. They received that on the way back from a missionary trip that they were taking. And the good news is, man, they are 20 days completely in the clear. God has absolutely taken care of them. And I just want to say thank you. You know, our church loves them. We love all of our missionaries, those that are working and toiling and slaving away for the kingdom of God, working in places that would make some of us turn our nose up at some of the places that these guys go. But they have such a heart for the lost, and we are so grateful for people like you that continue to support us so that we can continue to support them. Thank you. God has been good to us, and so have you. So let me just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your financial support. And once again, if you're adopting this church and you're saying, hey, I'm tuning in, you guys aren't my home church, please make sure that your tithes and your generosity, that goes to your own personal church. That's very biblical, by the way. I'm not here for your money. Our people will always take care of us, and God will always take care of us. But make sure you're supporting your local church. They need you right now. Lots of missionaries, people are needing that support. So make sure that you're staying faithful, if you would, and to your home church. 1 Samuel chapter 30, as we're getting into God's word today, I was drawn to this passage because it really speaks to kind of what my week has looked like, what many of you might be walking through as well. One thing that I've noticed as we continue to trudge on through uncharted waters is that the battles that we're facing are just that. They're battles, not any battle. that's kind of where we find ourselves. You're not fighting one thing. You're fighting a bunch of things at once. And these are crazy times where it's not just that I'm afraid of a virus, but now we've got kids that have their schedules interrupted. They're not able to go to school. We have people wondering about food, you know, toilet paper. What happened to my job? Is red meat going to kill us all? Or are we going to have red meat next week? There's all kinds of things going on. And it's crazy times. You're facing battles on a ton of different fronts. And then in those moments when life has those trials all flying at you at the same time, man, these are powerful moments where you can either press into God. And by the way, for some people, it's like they're living their best life. You know, they were made for Corona. And it's just like, oh, look at their Instagram stories. They're just making the best out of everything. But for the rest of us, right? Yeah. Life is not all on our highlight reel on Instagram. It's crazy. Let's not act like it's normal, because it's not. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves today, we would admit that life is throwing a bunch of curveballs here lately. And as we face each of those, it's important for us to remember where our strength comes from and how to find clarity in God's word. And so the message that I'm bringing to you today is from 1 Samuel chapter 30, and it's called Certainty in Uncertain Times. And if there ever was uncertain times, it is right now. You know, we're experiencing a lot of social distancing, and my hope is that it wouldn't become a time of spiritual distancing, because this is what happens when you can't go to church, when you're faced with a bunch of different hardcore situations that you're having to walk through, maybe with your health and your finances and your job and your kids. It's really, really easy to turn your back on God, because life has gotten tough. And so I want to encourage you from God's word. God has not forgotten you, and he has a word that he wants to speak into your life. And so if you will take some time and really apply yourself to this message, I'm believing that God will absolutely help you right where you are. And I want you to get your faith up that God is going to speak to you today. You need to know this. So David, believe it or not, is an amazing hero in the Bible, and his life was not always a bed of roses. The guy had to walk through a lot of battles. A lot of battles. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, what we find is David has now lost not just his home, but he's lost his job. He's lost his wife. He's lost his best friend. His boss tried to kill him, not once, but twice, tried to pin him to the wall. His boss was crazy, full of demons. And so this guy is now on the run. And so he ends up being joined by a bunch of people that you probably wouldn't want to hang out with. These guys kind of rally to him as their leader. And he decides, well, since I can't fight, I'm a natural warrior. And since I can't fight because my boss is crazy, then I'm just going to go to the enemy's camp and I'm going to fight with them and fight my boss. And this is where we find him. He decides to go fight with the Philistine army. Well, through the course of time, the Philistines, they love David, and they're like, hey, great, we're so glad you could be with us. Let's go attack and kill your ex-boss. And David's like, yeah, let's get revenge here for all the things that I've lost. But then, right as the battle's about to start, they look at him and say, you know what, David? No, won't you take your guys? Y'all just go home, because we're not going to trust you with this. And so David's like, man, I cannot win for losing. I was just about to get my revenge. I was just about to get out of this mess and find some kind of silver lining in all this. I get to kill King Saul and kill the people that took all this stuff from me. But they send him home. And so these guys are exhausted. They were all amped up for the big battle. It was almost there. This thing that we'd been waiting for so long. Like many of us, we're waiting for the battle to end. It's almost there. And then it's not quite happening like you thought it was going to happen. You ever been there? You ever had those moments of your life where you're thinking, oh, this is almost there. And then like, yeah, not so much. So they go back to their city. The city's name is Ziklag, and his army goes back to find the city has been burned to the ground. It's like that one last thing, the last straw, the last possible thing that you think could go wrong, goes wrong. And this is where we pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day, and now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag, and they had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Can you imagine? Put yourself in their position. Everything's gone. We lost it all. And it says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. I don't know about you, but that reminds me of some really dark days in my life. That reminds me of some of the things that I've had to walk through with some friends even here recently. Times are tough. People are sick. Family members and people are dying. And people have lost their jobs and lost their livelihood and don't know what's happening. It's tough times. It says that they were just devastated. I know that you've had moments like that, just facing total devastation, where it seemed like if it was one thing or two things, we could take it, we could stand strong, but you're devastated. And in those moments, you don't want somebody to say, hey, you know, just pick your chin up, it's gonna be fine. Or, you know what, let's just sing a little song. Like, dude, I will punch you in the face right now. I can't. That was the last straw. I can't take no more. This is where they find themselves. They weep aloud until there's no strength left to weep. You ever cried yourself to sleep? You ever had those moments where you're like, I got nothing left. I got nothing. I've been there. I've been there many times. And I'd venture a guess that at some parts of your life, if you've never been there, I'm sorry, but you will be at some point. And you need to know what to do in those moments. It goes on to say this, that David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. David, their leader. Like, well, if we would have been here, we could have protected our city, but we followed you to get your revenge. You got us all amped up for this big battle, and now we've lost our wives, we've lost our children, we lost our homes, everything's burned to the ground. This is your fault. And then it says, each one, and I want you to notice these next three words, they were bitter in spirit. Bitter. It says, because of their sons and daughters. So this is not just physical pain that they're walking through. This is not just some quick storm or one bad thing happened. I'm talking, this is total devastation. And it's different, I guess, when things attack your family. It's different when it's attacking those that you love, when you have to come face to face with the fact that you may never see them again. Pain just got real. This is a deep emotional pain. This is total frustration. This is despair. And we don't use that word a lot anymore, but that's really what you're looking at, total despair. I am done. If you're from East Texas, it's D-U-N, I'm done. I've noticed several things about pain and despair. And the first thing, if you're a note taker, write this down. Pain drains us of strength. And it says, these men, they wept aloud until they have no strength left. And it says they got bitter in spirit. And you know, it's one thing to experience pain and sorrow, but it's another thing altogether to fall into bitterness. And it says this is where their hearts went. They went from a place of distress to a place of darkness. And I want to just give that nugget to you today. For those of you that are sitting at home, it's one thing to be walking through a tough time. It's another thing completely to let that tough time take over. When distress becomes darkness. You know, when pain is present and strength is gone, bitterness is easy to find. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 12 says this, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." So it's not just affecting you, it affects everybody around you. It's a bitter root and it springs up. And now you become someone that has become a conduit for bitterness. You know, we don't like to think of ourselves that way, but this is what happens. It's one thing to be sad. It's one thing to feel like life's against me. It's another thing completely to let the enemy take over and to give into it. And this is where these men were. They're just done. Another thing that I found is that pain invites us to play the blame game. You know, we start turning on people that have previously earned our trust. Have you ever done that? I've done it. When I was in pain, I lash out at those that I know love me because they're easy targets. I know that they'll take it. And this is where our marriage goes sometimes. This is where our relationships go sometimes. You might take it out on your kids. You might take it out on your spouse. Take it out on your boss. We start blaming everybody else. And this is what David's men do. It's part of the human condition. It's really easy to start blaming somebody else. They turn on them like many of us do. We start turning on each other instead of facing the real enemy. We turn on each other. And then number three, pain leaves us stuck. You get stuck there. And for those of you that are listening to this and saying, okay, I've been sapped of my strength with this thing. I've started laying into people that I love and I'm stuck. I want to give you some encouragement today that God doesn't want to leave you there. You don't have to stay stuck. You know, when it talks about in the scripture, that word distress, it says the men were distressed. The original language here in 1 Samuel was the language of Aramaic. And in the original language, that word means to be bound up, to be tied up, or to be stuck in a place where you can't move. And it paints a really good picture of what happens when you're in total despair. You're stuck. You can't move. You're bound. You're tied. It has a way of just tying us up. There's no freedom there. You know, this was maybe a couple years ago, my wife and I, we like to go to estate sales and look for nice things really cheaply. Right? Especially when people die. I'm sorry. You're not using it. So we're going to take it. So we go to estate sales and I remember we pulled into one. It was a really nice house. And mostly we just like to go in and snoop around rich people's houses, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. It's just who we are. And so they had someone out in the big driveway there. And they said, we need you to park on the lawn. Well, it had been raining for a while. So I'm thinking, okay, I hope this is okay. But lots of cars are parked on the lawn. Well, as sure as the world, after we walked through this house and, you know, looked around and messed with rich people's things, we go back out to the truck. And I was driving a two-wheel drive truck at that time because I'm not a real man. And so I get in the truck and, of course, you know, those back tires just start spinning and you're not going anywhere. You get deeper and deeper the more that you try to press the gas. And so I'm like, oh, no. So I'm trying to get the car rocking back a little bit, and it's not happening. So I'm like, okay, I got to figure out a plan. Well, it's super cold, by the way. It's raining. It's really, really cold. And I don't want to be out in this, but I'm stuck. So I go inside, and I look through these rich people's garage. I say, well, how much for the shovel? She's like, $1. I'm like, sold. I'll take the shovel. So I grab a bunch of rocks, and I throw them underneath my tires, and I try to dig out some mud around the tires. And I'm thinking, okay, that should be enough to give me a little traction. So put in reverse and try to, no, it just shot rocks all over the other cars. And everybody stared at me like, I'm sorry. Like, why don't you have a four-wheel drive? What's wrong with you? I don't know. I just moved here. And so I went inside and they had a bunch of like shiplap for sale. I'm like, how much for all these old shiplap boards? They're like, you know, $10. Like, sold. I'll take those. So I got some boards and I'm wedging some boards in there. Well, ended up shooting the boards across the lawn. I couldn't get them in deep enough. And by that time, the truck had sunk down to the axle. I mean, we're in deep. It ain't going nowhere. And I'm cold, I'm freezing, you know, I'm like, okay, despair. No, not really. But I'm looking like a fool in front of my wife. She's sitting in the car, you know, just like, do you need anything? I'm like, yeah, I need a new truck. That's what I need. So it took someone else grabbing a tow rope and actually pulling me out with a four-wheel drive truck. Someone that was a real man actually pulled me out. And I knew in that moment that God was speaking to me that it was time to buy a four-wheel drive truck in Jesus' name. But life has a way of doing that to you. Try everything that you can and you can't get out. You're stuck. You get stuck in the cycle of bad becomes worse. And worse becomes despair and devastation. And in those moments, it's really easy to find bitterness, to turn our fingers at each other, to point that finger of blame back at God. And this is where David's men find themselves in despair and stuck, not able to move. You know, pain brings panic, and panic brings on the preposterous. You know, instead of looking at the enemy, they're looking at David. We're going to kill you. It says this, but David found strength in the Lord, his God. If you're an underliner, if you have your Bible out today, underline that scripture. This is an important scripture that you're going to need at some point in your life. You need to remember this. David found strength where? Within himself? No, in the Lord, his God. It says this, then David said to Abiathar, who was the priest, by the way, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. And so Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party, and will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered, and you will certainly overtake them and succeed in this rescue. That's a powerful word from God. God says, you go. Now, remember this, they're devastated, and they've got no more strength left. They've been weeping. And God says, yeah, go overtake them. Like, with what? We got no strength left. I'm exhausted. And God says, you've got more than you think you have. Yeah. Go. You're going to overtake them. You're going to get back everything else, but you still have to get up and go. God gives them a word. God brings certainty to an uncertain time. And he brings this promise that they would overtake them. I wonder, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What if God gave you a word and he promised you, you're going to make it through this. There's victory on the other side of this. What if you knew that God's word was true and he had spoken it to you? Could you find some strength to keep going? I bet you could. I want to give you, as we're getting into God's word today, six things to be certain of in uncertain times that we find in this story. So it says this, David and his 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to even cross the valley. But David and another 400 continued their pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David, and they gave him water and food to drink. This was a slave that they had left behind, thinking he wasn't going to recover. Well, David finds this slave and said, hey, can you lead me down to that raiding party? And then it goes on to say, well, he led David down and they found him. There they were, scattered over the countryside, eating, drinking, reveling because of the great amount of plunder that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. So David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. Think about that. Someone who had no strength left. Someone who had cried every tear out, couldn't even get up. Some of these guys had quit and fallen on the way. By the time they caught up to the enemy, they whooped them all day long and into the next day. I mean, what a battle. Think about the strength that was really there. And that gives me hope, because there's so many times in my life that I'm surrounded by despair, and there's just, I feel like I've got nothing left to give. And God says, you got a lot more than you think you do. It says this, none of them got away except for 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. And David recovered everything that they had taken, including his two wives. Two wives. Is that in the Bible? There it is. Nothing was missing, it says. Young and old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else that they had taken, David brought everything back, and then some. It says, he took all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. What a powerful moment. I love those stories that give me so much hope. It speaks right to me where I am. So six things that you need to be certain of in uncertain times that God is speaking to us through this story. And if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one, you have to know where your strength comes from. It said, David found strength in the Lord, his God. You know, I want to make sure that you know that. You have to know where your strength comes from. And let me give you a hint. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from your bank account. It doesn't come from the price of oil. Your strength doesn't even come from your spouse. Your strength doesn't come from anything other than God. That's the reason why so many people have quit. It's because they're looking for strength in the wrong places. They're looking for it in a candidate. They're looking for it in a political party. Your strength can only be found in God. God is our refuge and our help. And he's an ever-present help. The scripture says he's our strength in times of trouble. So either he's God or he's not. But if you don't have strength today, you need to know where you can get it. You may not have it, but you need to know where it is. David found strength in the Lord his God. You know, I thought if we looked for God like we looked for toilet paper a few weeks ago, you'd probably find a lot of strength.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
I wonder how many people are completely devoid of all strength and just don't know where to get it. I think God is saying, hey, where are you at? Talk to me. You have to know where your strength comes from. So David says he inquired of the Lord and he said, bring me the ephod. And if you're not familiar with Hebrew culture, this is a garment that a priest would wear. This is a vest, and this is very symbolic, by the way. God, when he designed it and he told his people how to build this certain piece of garment, he was very specific about what he wanted. It has stones on it. It has a couple different symbols, the very, very specific colors that God wanted to use because he wanted to symbolize that this was a precursor for Jesus Christ himself. And he's showing us very clearly through his word that when you are inquiring of the Lord, the way to go through is not through a person or through a piece of linen or something that was created before Christ, but it's to go to Christ himself. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 8 tells us that Jesus is now our high priest. And so we don't have to go to any other source. We go to Jesus. You know, I think it's interesting that our Catholic brothers and sisters saw an announcement from the Pope during the COVID-19 crisis that says, hey, if you can't make it to church for confession, you can talk to God yourself. And everyone that's a part of the Protestant or the Reformation is like, hey, we figured that out about 700 years ago, but thanks for noticing. And I'm not here to bag on my Catholic friends. You guys are awesome. But I'm just saying, we knew that. You know, I found this out to be true, that even on my worst day, it's always better with Jesus. Bring Jesus into your mess. There is nothing that he can't fix. If you find yourself devoid of strength, talk to Jesus. He's where our strength comes from. Here's the second thing you need to be certain of in uncertain times. You need to know who to surround yourself with. You know, the word tells us in 1 Samuel 22 that David's army was full of people that were in distress or in debt or discontented. That's who he became the commander of. So no wonder that they wanted to stone him. No wonder that they're freaking out because this, let's just be honest, this is not the cream of the crop. These are the people that everybody else was rejecting. These are the criminals. And these are the people David chose to surround himself with. So when times got tough, they were like, hey, we're going to kill you. Make some better choices. You know, when you're walking through a place where you're in despair, it's very important that you choose your circle wisely. Choose the people that you're allowing to speak into your life, because the last thing you need is for people to be speaking negative things or gobbledygook, weirdo stuff about, oh, just find your inner strength. Like, there's no inner strength. I got nothing left. Your strength has to come from God. So don't receive that stuff. Choose your friends wisely. You know, we built our church around groups because we wanted people to understand the importance of godly relationships. It matters, the people that speak into your life. Choose wisely. The word tells us that bad company corrupts good character. So you're not going to make all of them better. They're going to make you worse. Choose wisely. Know who to surround yourself with. Here's the third thing you need to be certain of in an uncertain time is that you need to know that not everybody's going to make it. And this is hard, but not everybody's going to come through this storm. Not every church is going to come roaring back. Not everybody's going to be able to roll with the punches. Lots of people are just going to give up and quit. And it's sad to see. It's sad to have to wave goodbye to good relationships, but there are some people that just, they can't do it. You know, I've had to face that in my own life, know what God was calling me to do, know that I had to persevere and I had to keep going. And some people decided that they couldn't handle the pain. They couldn't handle the pain of ministry. They couldn't handle living for the Lord. They couldn't handle making the right decisions. It's just easier to go back to the old lifestyle and just do it the old way because it was normal. Because I knew what to expect. But I need you to understand that not everybody's going to make it. And when David goes in the strength that he finds in the Lord, he found that there's a lot of people that just had nothing left to give. And remember, this is their children, their wives, their livelihood. And they couldn't rally. They couldn't do it. Not everybody's going to make it. And it's sad. But I want to make sure that the people that make it is you. You need to understand there is a hidden reservoir of strength that the Lord wants to give to his people. He wants to strengthen you to be able to make this. And if people don't know where to turn, they're going to quit. They're going to fall apart. Marriages are going to end. People are going to give up and roll over and die. And it's sad, but that's what happens when people don't know where to get their strength. Yeah. You have to know that not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody finds their strength in the Lord, but hard times reveal true character. And I've said this before in our services, but you know, in tough times, you're going to see people's true colors. And when somebody shows you their true colors, believe them. Everybody has big faith when things are going well. Everybody talks a good game. But when push comes to shove and when life gets tough, you see what your faith is really made of. It reveals what's really going on the inside. Here's the fourth thing that you have to be certain of in uncertain times. You have to be sure that God is leading you. You have to be sure of it. And here's the good news about God. You have to know this, is that God gave David little clues on the way. He helps him find this Egyptian, and the Egyptian recovers, and he says, these guys are this way. And think about that, because at this moment, he's just hoping that he can find and recover. Now, God had given him a word, but he needed little clues along the way. And I love that about our God, that as you begin to take steps and you go in the strength that you have, God will give you these little reminders letting you know, hey, it's coming. Come on, keep pushing. It's right here. It's just around the corner. Come on, come on. You can do this. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep walking. Keep believing. Keep the faith. God speaks to you, and he lets you know there's little things that God blesses his children with along the way. I know that you've seen some of those things, little moments where God came through, where you thought, okay, I'm going to give this up. I've lost it. And God's like, wait a minute, look over here. You know, for those of us that love to hunt, you know, there's that moment after you make the shot. And for those of you that are PETA lovers and you've never eaten an animal, yeah, good for you. But for the rest of us, especially in East Texas, oh, there's nothing like a good hunt. And when you finally get the payoff from shooting the animal, that beautiful, delicious animal that you've been hunting for forever, there's this moment where you're thinking, okay, did I make the shot that I thought I made? And then you start looking. And then when you find the first drop of blood, you're like, oh, yes, we're on the right track. There's something waiting for us. And then when you get to eat them, oh, even better. For those of you that don't eat meat, turn this off. For the rest of us that love Jesus and believe that God put those things on this earth for our enjoyment, you're welcome. God loves to give us little clues to let us know that he's taking care of us. He loves to provide little things to let you know you found his favor. And it's one of our sayings around here, find the favor, find the things that God is blessing and follow it. Follow it. Let God lead you. You have to know that you're following after the Lord. And God loves to give you little clues, little hints that you're on the right track. Use them. Here's the fifth thing that you need to be sure of. And this may be tough, but this is true. Just because victory is guaranteed doesn't mean that you don't have to fight. God gave David a powerful word. He guaranteed him a victory, but David still had to fight. Now, there are powerful scriptures in the Bible where God tells his children, you're not going to have to fight this battle. I've got this. But I found more often than not, God says, go in the strength that you have. Yeah. Give me what you got, and I'll take care of the rest. I want to encourage you today that God has given you victory. There is victory waiting for you, but you're still going to have to fight. And I'm sorry, you might not feel like you can keep going anymore, but you can. You're still here. You're still breathing. You're still alive. You're still kicking, and you haven't quit yet. And I am so incredibly proud of you. I'm so proud of our church. I'm so proud of those that keep tuning in week after week to receive some encouragement, to receive some hope. And even better than that, you're starting to encourage your friends. You're sharing your story. I love watching God turn up the volume on your life. People are getting free because of you and because of your story. I want to encourage you, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is not a time to just wait until the storm passes by. Oh, no, 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 no. Get in the game. Fight. Fight. Just because God has guaranteed victory doesn't mean you're not going to have to fight. I'm sorry, but there's a fight. We're not done yet. The good news is there's victory guaranteed. And you hang on to that word and you keep fighting. The last thing is this, and I want to make sure that you know this, that with Jesus, there's always blessing after pain. And I love this about my God. He does not waste any pain. He sees every tear. He sees the times where you're too embarrassed to even call out for help. He sees the times where you have no strength left, and he doesn't waste a single thing. God is an amazing God that sees every bit of the heartache and the tears and the struggle that so many people are walking through. And the good news is he takes it and he uses it for his glory. There's a powerful story coming out of all of this in so many people's lives. And I want to let you know, in case you didn't know, God has purpose in pain. He doesn't waste it. As a matter of fact, His Word tells us in Hebrews 10, it says, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. I want to speak to some people today that feel like you've thrown away your confidence. You know, it's not too late to pick it back up. Where's your confidence at? You know, in these times, our confidence has been shaken. What you thought would happen, what you thought might take a couple of weeks, has not. Things are different. People are hurting. But God's word is so clear. Don't throw away your confidence. There's a reward waiting for you. You know, I was there both times that my children were born, and I remember the hardcore labor that my wife had to go through. This was tough times. I remember holding that hand, and for dads, if you've ever made the mistake of holding her hand thinking this would be a sweet moment and realizing about halfway through, I'm in trouble. Like this was not a good decision. Like, this woman has a lot of strength and she's blaming me for this process. Labor was tough. I remember being there in those moments and watching the pain. Watching when the doctor says, hey, you're past the point of having an epidural. And then she's looking at you thinking, okay, you need to talk to him. You better do something. Give him a 20 because I'm taking these drugs right now. I need this. I'm like, I'm sorry. Well, then give me your hand. Like, you better bite on a stick because I don't have any more hands left for you to hold. You broke them all. But you know, when the babies were born and they hand you that baby, you don't care about the pain. None of it matters anymore because what you went through was worth it. And the same is going to be said for this. I want to just speak prophetically over you right now. There is an incredible blessing waiting for you at the end of all this. Do not lose heart. Do not lose confidence. Do not let your faith be shaken. You are stronger than you think you are. I need you to hear this from me. You are much stronger than what you think you are. You still have strength to fight. Don't quit. You're almost there. The Lord gave me a scripture for you this morning, a scripture that I had never seen before. I've read through the Bible cover to cover dozens of times now in my life, and I'd never seen this scripture, or I'd breezed past it and never seen the power that was in this single solitary verse. I want to give you this, Isaiah 66, verse 9, where God says this, and I'm speaking it over you. God says this, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born, says the Lord. Hold on to that word. God didn't cause all this pain, but you're guaranteed a victory when this is over and it's producing something. I wonder what's it birthing inside of you. And are you proud of the person that you've become through this? Are you proud of the strength that you were able to dig deep and find? Or could it be that today's a day where you turn it around and start looking for that strength in the right place? Find it in the Lord your God. And like David, know that there is victory waiting on the other side. You just have to go in the strength that you have and believe that God is going to strengthen you along the way. Don't quit. Don't stop. We're almost there. Keep going. Let me pray for you as we end today. And would you do me a favor? If you enjoyed this, would you like, would you comment, would you share? Would you let your friends be encouraged, especially those that feel like quitting, those that have walked through a tough time? This message is for you. God gave me a word for you. Like, comment, share. Let us know. Let us know how you're doing. We're so proud of all of you who have fought so hard. This thing is almost over. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every single person that is watching this message online. Lord, I love them, and I know that you love them even more. I know that you have a plan and a purpose, even in the midst of pain. And Lord, when we're surrounded by uncertain things, you still give us certainties from your word, things that we can be confident in. So Lord, we choose today to not throw away our confidence, knowing that there's a great reward coming. We're almost done. We're pushing. We're almost at the end. And we believe that you're going to get the glory from this, and you're producing something in us that's worth far more than the pain that we've had to endure. I pray that you would encourage and strengthen every single person watching this. Be with them right now. Let them feel you from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Fill them with your spirit. Fill them with your strength. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. As we close today, I want to just talk for a moment to the person that's watching this, that you've been away from God for a long time. You know it. You sense it. You know that you need to come home to Him. Maybe you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, or maybe you did it a long time ago. Maybe you've been to church before, but you've gotten out and gotten away from God. Man, I know exactly what you're going through. My life was a mess. I'd been away from God for a long time, and I could feel, I could sense that He was drawing me home. You know, I didn't know how to really come back to Him. I wasn't sure what to do, but somebody loved me enough to tell me how to do that. And my friend, I love you enough to tell you how to come back to God. Right where you are, I want to lead you in a prayer. Something that somebody led me in one time. It changed my life. And I believe that if you pray this with me, God is going to meet you right where you are. He's going to speak to you, and your life is about to change. I believe if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you and asking you to come home. Come home. The only question is, will you take it? Right where you are, would you just pray with me? The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You came and died but rose from the grave just for me so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give myself to You right now. Now say this. I don't want to live my life my way anymore. I give it to You. Save me. Heal me. Forgive me. And I thank You for what You did for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, I am so incredibly proud of you. I would like to ask something from you, if you wouldn't mind. Would you text me? Would you text the words I prayed, all one word, I-P-R-A-Y-E-D, to 94090. Several of you have been texting me and letting me know that I prayed that prayer. I love getting those messages of people that have accepted Christ. It does something for me that you have no idea how much it blesses me to know that somebody out there is listening and responding to Jesus. That's our measuring stick of success. Did people find Jesus? And I want you to know that if you ask Christ to come into your heart today, life is about to get really good. Reach out to us and let us know what just happened inside of your heart, and we'd like to help you take the next step. This is not the end. It's the beginning of a beautiful relationship. I'm incredibly proud of you. Click like, click comment, click share if you would. Let us know what's going on inside of your world. For everyone else, man, stay strong, love well. We're hoping to see you soon. God bless you.